never seen.
This means nothing to me.
Oh, wow. This guy was one of the, like, random people on the street voice actors in GTA 5.
Cool. Welcome to Bunta Vista, episode 411. I'm Andrew, and I'm here in the democratically elected government of the best of all possible worlds. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, the bees are buzzing, and no one's wondering what happened to all the bees. We have the correct amount of them, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And also, my testicles are blessedly free of microplastics. With me is the head of the agency that distributes a universal basic income for the purchase of reggae and cumbia LPs. It's Ben. Hey, Ben.
Hey, that's so nice. Can you imagine that? Every house you walk past, you can just hear the distant sound of a guy yelling, "Cumbia!" Pure magic.
Yep. You get to work at that agency. I don't know, maybe you get people in who come up with playlists for people who aren't sure what they should be buying or listening to, you know?
Yes.
What a wonderful job to get.
Do you want cumbia peruano or do you want cumbia colombiano? I can help you. I will get you Andean cumbia that you need.
That's right. Come down to the shop front, talk to a real person. We have a turntable and headphones at every one of the desks. Just sit down. We'll play you some stuff. It'll be fine.
And you could like ease people in. You start with like modern cumbia bands doing cumbia classics like Chicha Libre, where the production is a little easier to get into. Like, we can hold your hand. A better world is possible. What are you both talking about? You've listened to so much cumbia.
You are saying words that
from
are
being at my house.
You're making That's up right. words.
I've been in Ben's house while you were listening to cumbia records.
Well, I don't know what that is.
Listen to cumbia.
That's right. Also with us is the head of the agency for making sure the pop punk bands on nostalgia tours only play the songs that you actually want to hear, and also that the tickets are indexed to the same price you paid when you saw them in the early 2000s. It's
Thank
Lucy.
You. This is perfect. What a great world. I was going to say I'm out there killing bees, but I prefer this job. So.
Keeping the bee population just right.
$270 for a music festival ticket. That's fucked. That's fucked up, but that doesn't exist in this world. It's still $70. Yeah. Every ticket is $70.
I went when I was a teenager. I went to the Detroit Electronic Music Festival, and at that time, you could still go to the whole weekend for, I want to say, like $40 or $50. Before that, it was free. Man, now I think it's $300 for the weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
Too much. Tyler, the Creator's touring here, and my wife was like, should we go and see him? And I went, ho, 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 ho.
Yeah.
Like Jabba the Hutt.
It's like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. I said, look at those ticket prices. And she went, oh. It was like $400 minimum.
Well, that can't
for
be right.
a ticket to that get in there.
Definitely exist. Can't be right. There's no way that's true. Is that just like the floor ticket to see Tyler, the Creator?
It was something absolutely. Well, I mean, we're not doing floor tickets at Tyler, the Creator. We're entirely too old for that.
Okay, you're seated. You're in the wings.
Yep. Yeah. I'm going to be seated. Clapping politely. Singing along to the ones I know. Hey, I did hear a voice a second ago. What's that sound and flashing light? A Skynet-style portal has opened, and through it appears a completely nude man, bringing terrible warnings from the worst of all possible worlds. It's theater director and host of the podcast Ill-Conceived in the Worst of All Possible Worlds, Josh.
Stop. It's you got to keep yourself together in this world. You don't understand just how good you have it. You might think that those cumbia records, that there's too many of them. I promise you. Where I come from, we would beg on hand and knee for access to even one cumbia record, let alone
state-sponsored cumbia record.
That's right. Our state agency for cumbia has just been defunded by another act of another executive order.
My God, you guys just brought in that agency for giving everyone a communicable disease.
Yeah.
I'm glad we live in this one and not that one.
Yeah, that'd be depressing, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It'd be a real hassle. I don't like that at all. How's it going, Josh? Everything good?
Yeah, going all right. Yeah. It's kind of fun. Doing the sort of trans-Pacific recording is always interesting because I get to be like, oh, I'm about to settle in for the evening and figure out. We were talking about playing Wingspan before, you know. It's going to be board game night here. And meanwhile, you're just starting your day.
That's nice. We're in the crossover of energy levels. I think, which is good because we're just waking up. You're just winding down.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
We're meeting in the middle, you know?
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
I mean, I can elevate the level as needed. Like, I can go more, I can go less. Just let me know where I'm at, you know?
We won't be elevating our level at any point. We're sort of already maxed out.
This is like maxed out
already. We're at full throttle currently. Great. This hurts like a log.
We're all out of bed, energy reserves full. This is as hard as we can go, and we're doing it right now.
But I'm doing all right, you know. I got back from Sweden, and before that I was in Scotland. So I was away for like a month and just got to read all of the cool headlines about what was going on in the US. Mm-hmm. Got back home and now I'm living it. So yeehaw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't recommend it. Let's put it that way.
Hey, news from America. That's really depressing. How about instead we talk about some less depressing news from America? Ian, big unit watch. Oh, no, actually, I take it back. This is still a tiny bit depressing. I forgot I had a bad ending.
Shit.
This is from the Associated Press. Desmond Watson, the heaviest player in NFL history, will be released by Tampa Bay, AP sources say.
I gotta see this guy.
You've gotta check out Desmond Watson.
That's a big boy.
He is. And like, you need a picture of him next to another guy as well, because it's not just that he's got a large frame. He's 6'6".
Right.
He is huge.
Well, and you see a picture of him near other guys, but all the other guys
are
like pro football players.
That's true. Wow. We need a picture of him next to like the average chartered accountant, just as like a point of reference.
Well, it's like when you see a particularly massive pro wrestler, but they're standing next to a bunch of other pro wrestlers, and those guys are already like 6'2" bodybuilders.
Big Show looks big next to Terry Funk, but Terry Funk next to a regular man still quite big.
Mm-hmm. Very current professional wrestling references. Yeah,
the guys from the Young Bucks, I think, are average height. I know those guys. Well, Kenny Omega.
Flips, you got to be.
Mm. Yeah, true. The heaviest player in NFL history may not get a chance to play in the league. Desmond Watson will be released. No, well, you'll find out. Desmond Watson will be released by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a person with knowledge of the decision told the AP on Monday. The person spoke on condition of anonymity because the deadline for roster cuts is Tuesday. Watson, who played at Florida, was signed after going undrafted in April. He weighed 464 pounds at school's pro day and lost 25 to 30 pounds before the draft, but didn't get a chance to practice with the team because he didn't lose enough weight. He spent training camp on the non-football injury list.
So
that's 210 kilos in fake money, by the way.
Big fucking boy.
So he signed a 464-pound player and then said, by the way, bit big.
You got to lose some weight? That's fucked up. He performed very well. Like, he can run. He can deadlift quite a lot. Apparently, that's part of the thing they do on the, like, whatever days where they demonstrate their skills so they can get some stats. And he deadlifted more than anyone else there, which is pretty fucking awesome.
I'm assuming he just wasn't able to get to his man in time in the drills. And so they were just like, sorry, bud, you got to go.
Man, wouldn't you just, like, want him there just as, like, a psychological weapon? Like, if you're on the other side and you see Big Dez coming, like, what are you going to fucking do? You're going to run. Your natural instinct will be telling you to run.
At the Combine. I was trying to remember what they call it.
Yeah, that.
The Scouting Combine.
From Half-Life. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, that's right.
Do your squats. Do your deadlifts.
Eli Breen comes in. He tells you, you need to run now. You do it. A head crab jumps at you. You die.
Quote, he's still working. Job's not finished, agent EJ Gonzalez told the AP. The 6'6" defensive tackle had been working with a team nutritionist and the team didn't say what would be an ideal playing weight for him. Fox Sports was first to report that Watson will be waived.
So you signed the biggest player in NFL history, said you need to be a smaller player.
Yeah.
But also didn't tell him how small he needed to be.
What is the ideal playing weight? I genuinely have no idea.
No.
Great question.
Yeah, I didn't realize there would be any kind of weight limit. Don't you just want the biggest boy?
Yeah. Don't you want the heftiest lad to be like out there running at full speed directly at the other people?
Yep.
God. Well, I was looking at photos yesterday of former NRL player Dave Taylor, because he was sort of famous when he played for being like he was very muscular and very tall, but like he had a bit of body fat on him, like a regular, ordinary human being. But because of his height and the fact that he was quite muscular underneath it, he was just fucking huge. But at some point he got like fired from a team and then stopped having a personal trainer and became an even bigger boy. And now he is just fucking enormous in a way where you look at it and you're instantly like, everyone on that field should look like that.
Mm.
This is what an athlete looks like. Yeah. If it was the 80s, 90% of the people out there would have looked like that. I think they still should.
They should.
I don't want these guys that are like,
let's goose them up.
They shouldn't know about macros.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't know
what they're eating.
They should like still be drinking 20 beers a night. Like they should be practicing all day.
Yes.
Maybe four days a week.
Bring back alcoholic athletes.
Yes.
I really love going and looking at pictures and videos of baseball players from back in the day. It was kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, especially like from like a long ass time ago, like the 30s. And these guys are just schlubby dudes. They are not in shape at all.
Blasting
cigarettes. They swing the bat like a little bitch. Like, it's just, they have nothing going on. And it's like, back then, this was the absolute peak of sporting entertainment. This was the best thing you could possibly enjoy.
The highest level of athleticism anywhere in the country, and the guy like on the mound is smoking and drinking a beer.
Yes!
With, like pipe cleaner legs, a spherical body.
I think,
bring it back.
Like, that's got to be, back in the day, that would have made you feel much more like maybe you could play in the bigs.
I think that's why it's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, you would have been watching it and going, you know what? I got a pretty good arm. If the right person sees me, that could be my, in the same way that, you know, people used to get like discovered as artists. Doesn't happen anymore. You got to be getting streamlined into that shit by your parents from child entertainer age. You got to be on the Disney Channel. Got to have an agent when you're nine.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, I got discovered to be a fashion model. Did you know that?
Oh.
That's actually true. I got
someone
scouted.
Just pointed at you like Donald Sutherland in Invasion of the Body Snatchers out in the mall.
Yes, actually. I was walking down the sidewalk in Brooklyn, in Williamsburg. This was, I don't know, like 12 years ago or something. And this guy walked up to me and was like, hey, do you want to be in a fashion show? And I was like, okay, you're trying to take my money. Get the fuck out of here. And I kind of like fobbed him off or whatever, but he handed me a card on the way out. And then I looked him up. And I saw
the card
and
said,
like,
Vice, Terry Richardson.
Exactly.
Oh.
And then I, you know, and I became nude. It was great. No, it turned out like he was a stylist. He had styled for a whole bunch of like major brands and done shoots for GQ and stuff like that. So I sent him an email and like a week later, I was out at Chelsea Piers getting fitted for a fashion show. I'll see if I can find the picture.
Wow.
Again.
That's fucking incredible.
That's wild.
Yeah.
How'd they compensate you for that bad boy?
In clothes.
Really? Did you like the clothes?
I loved the clothes. Well, I got to pick. And it was this thing of like, we'll give you like $100 or we'll give you like $1,200 worth of clothes. So of course I did the clothes.
Oh, so you'd be a fool not to take the clothes. You'd be leaving clothes on the table.
It's money in your pocket right there. Money in the pocket of your new clothes.
Right to the bank.
So let me see here if I send you this link. Does this work? Can you see this or not?
Oh wow. That's stylish.
Powerful.
Very powerful.
But with a street edge.
Yeah. How would you describe this look?
How do you describe this look?
1950s teenage boy doing modern graffiti?
Yeah.
Maybe. It's the stripes, really, that are selling me a sort of almost Dennis the Menacean
right.
kind of... It's a powerful look. And we'll make the picture for the episode.
I've had a bit of time to think about this, and I think I've come down on like non-binary Waldo.
Yep.
From Where's Waldo?
I can see that, certainly.
Situationship Waldo.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, and they've got you a can of spray paint and a spray paint glove. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
This guy's
and you
out
can
here.
See there's even a little bit of spray paint on my hand there. They styled me up.
I thought maybe it was gangrenous. Could have gone either way.
It was also that, to be clear.
Wow, dreams do come true, folks.
So you can get discovered. Yeah, that's I guess what
that
I'm
is.
Say.
Yeah, wow. I think Andrew, you were making a good point that like I think the problem with, I don't know if it's society at large, I don't know if it's consumer capitalism, I don't know if it's globalism, I don't know what it is, but the more internet connected and bigger we get, the more we funnel the people that are good at things early on into an elite class where only they get the resources and the time. So the gulf between the really, 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 really good and the average gets wider and wider. It's the same as, yes, you know, money attenuates into like a tinier and tinier pool of hands at like an exponential rate. We really do need to start leveling the playing field that like the guy that's like the star pitcher for fucking whoever's is a little bit better than you, but like not much.
not by much.
Just a little bit.
I was reading this thing recently about how baseball players in the States who have not yet been signed to the major leagues are getting Tommy John surgery at younger and younger ages.
What's that?
You got so actual cut children. The banjo string on your penis?
Nope. It's on your arm's penis that they have to right. cut the little banjo string. It's because baseball pitchers are expected to pitch at such a velocity now at the professional level that is mainly what people are focusing on through their training from a really young age.
Yeah.
Is throwing at an insane speed, right? Rather than your form or your accuracy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so people are just obsessed with the mechanics of throwing at the highest possible velocity, which is effectively guaranteed to induce the type of injury from repetitively doing that like incredibly powerful motion that you will have to get this Tommy John surgery, which used to be relatively rare, I think.
Yeah, and it was. Professional and it would leagues. Be... generally speaking, like only pitchers who'd been pitching for a really long time would get Tommy John surgery. It's named for a pitcher named Tommy John, who was the first guy to get it done. But
doctor, I've got to get the Tommy John surgery? Me?
It's called the ulnar collateral ligament. So it's like right here in your elbow. And it just eventually, it over time, it degrades and eventually it will rip if you are throwing at velos of upward of 95 miles an hour. Like it just will.
And now they basically have like teenagers throwing at those yep. speeds yeah. and also starting to obliterate the ligaments in their arms that used to take you 20 or 30 years of like professional sporting career to wear out.
It's so I
was just watching the Little League World Series. That was on last week. And these kids were throwing 65-mile-an-hour heaters. These are like 12-year-olds.
Oh, my God.
Don't be doing that. Don't be doing that, everyone.
As part of my like wider theory that access to big data and analytics was a mistake, I believe that sports science was a mistake. It should have just been like vibes-based.
Yeah, dial it back.
Like, you should just have a guy who is like,
Shane Warne. We should just have Shane Warne again. Mm-hmm. And bring back tubby alcoholic sportsman.
But the guy advising you, like the people telling you what you should be doing if you want to become professional should kind of be quacks, where they're just like, you got to have 3 glasses of carrot juice every morning. That's what you got to have. You got to have 5 beers every night. You got to jog around the block twice. That's it. You got to rest.
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone had the right idea. You need to be punching on like beef sides in a in the chill room.
Would Steve Jobs have survived if he'd had access to sports science? That's what I
want. The UK, they're home to some very schlubby looking athletes.
I was just there. I can confirm.
Well, they're playing darts.
We talk about the UK in Tabloid Phenomenon.
Fist-headed man destroys church.
This comes to us from The Leader in Wales. Chester man jailed for driving stolen roller dangerously. I think you're about to learn about cricket, Josh.
Oh, okay, great, yeah. I mean, we've already been talking about bat and ball sports, so it's a natural continuation. Yeah.
A, quote, immature and, quote, arrogant young man who stole a cricket club's roller and led police on a dangerous, albeit slow, chase has been jailed.
Sorry, what's a roller?
Is this just the thing that like flattens the pitch?
Yes, the turf flattener.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not even like
that sounds really fun.
usually with these stories, we're talking about someone who has stolen like a steamroller and is driving it very, very slowly away from the police. This one seems like it might be even slower.
This is, you can drive it though.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's like a cricket Zamboni, I guess.
Yes, sick. Yeah. Okay, nice. That helps me, thank you.
Very much a turf Zamboni, yeah. Leon Mitchell of Parkgate Road in Chester appeared for sentence at Mould Crown Court on Thursday morning.
Come on.
Don't call it that.
The fucking Bloodborne location.
Yeah.
Never played it.
Well, you're about right. The 21-year-old had previously admitted offences of dangerous driving, unlawful taking of a motorised roller.
You had that on the books?
That's a specific crime?
Unlawful taking of a motorized roller, driving whilst disqualified, failing to provide a specimen for analysis, and criminal damage. You didn't come in the roadside cup.
You didn't provide a rat from your pocket for them to dissect.
You didn't say what kind of specimen. Amy Edwards, prosecuting, told the court that on June 3 this year, between 1:30 a.m. and 4:30 a.m, the defendant, along with a co-defendant, stole a roller from Connors Key Cricket Club.
That's such a good time for a crime.
So yeah. Good. Imagine, because you know that this guy's like blasted, right?
Yeah.
He's just like, let's go steal the roller.
Nobody expects the 3 a.m. roller hijack.
That's the witching hour too, you know?
That's I was born at 2 a.m. on June 3rd. So that's sort of, I don't know what it is, synchronicity aside from the universe, but it's around that same hour.
Going to do your birth chart, Ben.
Scorpio rising, probably. I don't know what any of that shit means.
Checks out.
Yeah.
Scorpio rolling, yeah.
Yes.
Police were contacted from 5 a.m. onwards by three separate members of the public who reported the defendant and his co-accused driving the roller around Connors Key whilst, quote, holding a bottle of wine.
That's a fun twist, because you would have thought he would have been on beers.
On the beers, yeah.
But he's not. He's drinking a bottle of a beautiful Spanish, perhaps a Tempranillo, I hope.
I hope so.
I know I'm inventing things of whole cloth, but I'm going to level this accusation because they are already accused and co-accused. I think maybe they were on the beers earlier.
Yeah.
Switch to something harder.
Yeah, well, got kicked out of the pub, you know, or maybe the pub's closed at midnight or whatever. They have to go home. You're rummaging around in the cupboards. You've drunk the last of your pints, you know. Ooh, what do we have here?
Walking around on the street, passing the bottle around, walking down the sidewalk. And then it's like, hey, the cricket ground, I bet we could get in there.
I bet there's a motorized roller over there that we could unlawfully take.
Miss Edwards told the court that police attended the area and were unable to stop Mitchell, who led officers on a pursuit over some 2 miles whilst swerving, cutting across the officers, and even throwing bricks from a bucket on the roller.
What?
This guy's like a low-level boss from early on in a platform game.
Crash Bandicoot boss ass. Throwing bricks behind.
He's really slow, but if he hits you, it's an instant kill.
Right. This is like Nintendo difficulty. Yeah, this is a Battletoads boss.
First vehicle they give you in Twisted Metal. One of those bricks caused damage to one of the police cars.
You should have seen the flashing red circle that was indicating where the brick was going to land. You could easily avoid it at that point.
Just move out of the way. Just move
really
out of the way.
Easy.
I got to say, how many wines are you on to throw bricks at a cop car?
Oh, man. Two. Stealing the roller?
2 to 3.
I'm wondering what the bricks were doing on the roller in the first place.
Yeah, yeah,
they picked them up and took them with them?
That's actually a very...
Brought them from home?
I don't know if it gets addressed in this article, but another one I was reading, the judge points out that the bricks weren't already on there. They had to have brought the bricks with them.
They brought bricks. Okay.
Like from home?
Probably from maybe around the cricket club, perhaps. But
they just stole a few bricks.
Yeah. Maybe they got the wine. Maybe they got the wine and the bricks at home. As they were taking turns, one carrying the wine, one carrying the bricks, swapping back and forth, starting to get real tired. You start off with that beer strength.
Yes.
You know?
Then you
I
switch
can carry
to red
these
wine.
Bricks
it's
all night.
Sleepy time. A little Tempranillo. Right. It's time for bed.
I could carry these bricks all night, and then you have half a bottle of room temperature Tempranillo. These bricks are starting to feel heavy. Hey, you see that roller over there? We could pop our bricks on that bad boy. Take a load off. Hey, you guys want one of these bricks? When Mitchell drove the roller down a country lane. Beautiful.
That's great, Matt Berry. That's a very good Matt Berry. Thank you.
He was met by an oncoming police car with the officer driving attempting to box him in. But Mitchell, undeterred, carried on driving forwards, causing the officers to have to reverse or be run off the road. You're creating a Benny Hill situation, my friend.
It's getting silly. Your crime spree is getting very silly indeed.
I'm looking down the country lane. I'm seeing the roller chasing the police car. Police car's driving backwards into one driveway, but then it comes out of a driveway a bit further down the road and across the other side of the road. Then it comes down closer to us again, except now the police car is chasing the roller, which is going in reverse.
Yep,
yeah, rolls zipping around back and forth.
Stockings and garters.
Yep.
And this thing goes up to 10 kilometers an hour.
Woo!
So,
oh, that's not very fast at all.
But it is perfect for like the 20 beers, 3 glasses of wine right. reflex levels.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, shit. I've only got 20 seconds to respond to this.
I'm always.
But I think the only issue there, too, is I suppose that the mass of the roller itself, because I just looked up what one of these things looks like. And those rollers are big boys.
Yeah, it's hefty.
You wouldn't want to.
You could flatten a cup with that thing.
It's almost like a football player from the University of Florida with how big it is.
That's right.
Ultimately, Mitchell lost control of the roller and crashed it into a hedge.
This is so British.
My hedgerow.
No.
He's denting me hedgerow.
I only just got to put that one in.
That was me mother's hedgerow. The court also heard about Mitchell's conduct following his arrest. When interviewed, he pushed the police paperwork off the desk.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Awesome.
This is great.
Right off the desk. I don't want it. You know what it is? It's like it's like the beginning of Rambo.
Trying to take his prints.
Exactly.
It sounds like they gave him more beers at the police station. Now drink this and tell me what happened. Drink this and calm down. He pushed the paperwork off the desk and claimed half of the offenses he was being accused of were, quote, bullshit. Telling officers, where's the evidence? Fuck off.
What do you mean? What evidence?
I mean, where's the evidence?
They were there.
Fantastic.
The roller that's crashed into the hedgerow, the brick that's through the windshield of the cop car.
The cops I pushed
cops
out of the way.
You, all of all whom.
Speculation. Oh
the cop ESA. Car with a brick through it? Yeah, no.
Could be anyone's brick. That's so good. Where's the evidence? Oh. Judge Reese Rowland said, immaturity can't excuse dangerous driving. I feel like the driving's kind of secondary.
Yeah, it's probably the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
The bricks, etc.
Stealing the thing in the first
Stealing
place.
Stealing the thing.
Yep. These were two young men thinking themselves clever.
Now, I know that he's using thinking in the sense of like regarding yourself as clever, but it does sound more like a process, like thinking yourself clever, which is traditionally how you would do it.
It's kind of like LCD sound system, dance yourself
100%
clean.
100% what I was
think
thinking.
Yourself clever.
Think yourself clever. Come on and think yourself clever.
That's right.
Quotes. There's no prospect of rehabilitation at present. His attitude towards the police shows an arrogant disregard towards the process.
I guess the brick through the window shield does sort of read as somewhat arrogant.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Disregardful.
I do like that being the first thought, though. That brick is just so arrogant.
Turning to Mitchell, the judge said, It is, to say the least, an unusual case involving a protracted piece of bad driving by someone who had been drinking, quite determined not to be stopped by the police, and no doubt in an act of drunken stupidity thought they were being very clever showing off to their friend.
He really can't believe himself clever.
They're focusing on the bad driving. It's just so funny. It's not that he's like escaping from the cops on a roller
stolen vehicle.
Not well.
That and just the whole like, yeah, he thought he was pretty smart, huh? Yeah. Turns out he wasn't.
Not so smart now. What? And I think that the bad driving was only so protracted because of the 10 kilometer an hour limit.
Really.
Yeah. He wouldn't
have
been
hedge much faster in a regular car.
This must have been so funny to watch, though.
Oh my God. There's something so really good. Beautiful about the dance of like an unbelievably slow vehicle, like a just faster than walking speed vehicle that you can't stop because it has so much mass.
It's too massive, yeah.
It will just simply flatten anything in front of it. You couldn't just like jog next to it, just sort of grab at him and say, hey, knock it off.
Quit it. Flatten you.
This is one of the early crimes that they would have given Constable Nicholas Angel to sort out in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, when he gets to that townspeople would have been laughing at him. Yeah,
that's why it's on the books, right? They got him on illegal operation of a roller or whatever, right?
Otherwise, you just got to let him go. The standoff continued for a distance of 2 miles until you lost control of the roller and ended up in a hedge.
Yeah, I think he knows.
Yeah.
Where's the evidence, though?
Yeah, true.
Prove it. Come on.
I love that. Just that drunk confidence of being like, got it on video? Got any evidence? Yeah.
You didn't see anything. Oh, no, hang on. No, there were some other guys there.
Well, I'm not on the roller right now, am I?
Imagine waking up the next day, waking up being like, I feel like people were mad at me last night. I feel like I was kind of obnoxious and rude.
Imagine if you managed to talk yourself out of your anxiety before remembering that you did this and be like, no, you always get this feeling.
I was
no one's
pleasant,
mad at you.
I'm liked. Nobody's mad at me.
It's just
normal.
What happens when you get a hangover. Everyone knows you just had a few beers. If you did anything silly, they still love you. You know, just think if a friend of yours was drunk. You know, you'd be like,
would you judge
classic.
Them?
You wouldn't judge them. Oh, you I did the thing with the roller.
The
roller.
I thought I was being so clever. God damn.
I think they were laughing. I remember. Oh, were they laughing?
Was I laughing? Was anyone else laughing?
Oh, had a great night last night, but I can't remember anything between 1:30 and 4:30 a.m.
Steering wheel arms are sore. Interesting.
I feel like I've been throwing bricks for hours. Shoulders fucked. Judge Rowlands quoted part of the pre-sentence report in which Mitchell claimed he had indeed been drinking before driving the roller, quote, for courage.
Come on.
And he refused to give a sample of breath once arrested because he, quote, didn't want to make matters worse by being charged for drink driving. Now that's thinking yourself clever.
Yeah, that's so smart, good. Actually.
Prove it. I'm not going to do it. Prove it. Prove that I'm drunk. How close to the precipice of courage do you need to be like, I'm going to steal that fucking roller and take some bricks and throw them at cops? Oh, no. I feel anxious.
I feel like he was already there.
I like the idea of declining the roller because you are too cowardly, you know?
Oh, I couldn't.
I'm
no,
scared.
Not me. No,
I'm just
you
a
do
little
that.
Baby.
You do that sort of stuff, not me. I'm too
I'm
shy.
Just a little guy.
Yeah, I need a little bit of that Dutch courage.
Give me a little bit of that Spanish courage.
That Spanish courage. That Melbeck courage.
He added that while there was no great speed involved in the chase, given the nature of the vehicle taken, it was nevertheless of a significant size and weight and had the potential to cause serious damage. Just look at that hedge.
That's true.
Mitchell slumped in his seat as the judge handed down an overall custodial sentence of 10 months to be served immediately.
Fuck. Oh, man.
Pardon?
10 months in the can.
That fucking sucks.
Or is this like a suspended sentence? Like, what is this in jail, or is this like community service?
It sounds like he is immediately going to jail.
It's a downright American sentencing right there.
Yeah. What are you in for? Well,
I stole a roller. I was feeling really sad, but then I got some courage, and I felt so clever.
Acquiring it like the Wizard of Oz. He was also banned from driving for 3 years, with a 5-month extension to reflect the time he will serve in custody before being released on license. So you get your 10 months in, 3-year driving ban, plus 5 months. Oh, so he's probably only going to be in there for like 5 months, they're saying. But of the no, 10 months,
still
right?
Jail for this is crazy.
No monetary damages? I would have expected that he would have to like pay for the hedgerow or whatever.
Or the windshield or the bricks. Mm. Pay for those bricks.
That's right. Those bricks don't come free.
Well, if he's a taxpayer, those windshields are kind of his windshields. They're all of our windshields.
Yeah, we kind of own them.
We paid
it's
for
a good
those.
Way of thinking about police like vehicles the cops more broadly.
It seems like it's very hard in Australia to get sent to prison for drink driving. Is that?
Yeah, you can.
Am I wrong?
You can do it a lot, I think.
Yeah, you can get caught doing it, and they say, "Hey, you're in trouble for that one," and you go, "Yep, sorry." And then you do it again, you get caught again, and they go, "Hey, we're taking your license off you, so you're not allowed to do that.
You can't drive anymore, except to and from work or health appointments."
Yep, and then you do it some more, and they say, "Hey, we told you you weren't allowed to drive." And you go, sorry. I need courage before I go to work.
Did y'all ever see the video of the guy in Detroit who showed up remotely for his license revocation hearing in his car?
In his car? Yeah. And the judge is just like, "Hey, are you in the...
What's going on, man?
Are you in your car?"
Very funny.
Yeah, what's up?
I did see a video the other day of a guy who was on a Zoom call to his court appointment, and he leans most of but not all the way out of the frame to take a hit on a blunt.
Hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
While straightening back up to continue talking to the judge, and the judge is like, "Hold on. Give it a second." Wow. Being watched by a judge on your Zoom call, that's some real cyber shit. I would hate to be cyber watched. Except for in this segment called Cyberwatch.
This is from KTAB in Abilene, Texas.
The tab.
Cyber attack delays Abilene road projects.
Huh?
Road work on Rebecca Lane near the Mall of Abilene won't be finished until mid-November, according to the city's public works director. Other projects face delays due to a cyber attack earlier this year. The update came on Thursday during a street maintenance advisory board meeting. Rebecca Lane is one of 5 projects selected for 2025. 2 other projects, Little Estates and CW Gill Park, are facing delays tied to the city's cyber attack earlier this year. Work on South 14th Street from Willis to Sales Boulevard is scheduled to begin later this year. Meanwhile, North 18th Street from Willis to Mockingbird has been pushed to 2026 and is currently under design.
Due to what? Cyber attacks, you
Can
say?
It get more specific?
What are we talking about here?
Someone logged in and changed the plans to make the roads go all squiggly.
I can't believe this is the fucking Neuromancer future that we get. Like, I don't have a cybernetic arm or anything like that, but someone now has to wait 6 more months for a road to get upgraded near them because of a cyber attack?
Did someone just lose some files and they're like, "Oh, I think we got hacked or something"?
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
Someone didn't do their work, got to the end of their 6-month contract, and I was like, fuck. State actors.
Shit.
North Korea hacker farm. They targeted roadworks in Abilene, Texas.
I'm going to start saying that at work when they're like, "Do you have this shit ready for this deadline?" They'll say, "Oh, I got cyber attacked." Yeah. I got cyber attacked again.
Is there anything in the article clarifying what they mean, or do they just kind of leave it at that?
Nope, that is the entire article. Was this like one of those ones where someone like locked all their files and was like, "You need to give us $10,000 in Bitcoin or we won't unlock it"? And now they're like, "Fuck, what did we say we were going to do to the street? Replace it?"
Tear it up? Which one?
The recipe for the asphalt was on a computer, and they stole the asphalt recipe and didn't give it back.
It's just fucking bizarre. I really don't know to what extent you could like possibly wipe out the information that they would need to do this. fucking insane.
And if you have a serious answer, don't tell us.
We don't
write
care.
In.
Yeah, no,
we don't
no.
care about it.
If we cared, we would Google it. The fact that we haven't means that we don't.
It's funnier to not know.
Oh, okay. That's it's exactly the thing that I guessed. On Friday, April 18th, 2025, City of Abilene became aware of a cyber attack on city computer systems. Now, more than a month later, the investigation into that attack is ongoing, and an alleged deadline has come and gone, with the city stating no intention to pay any would-be ransom for the stolen data. They took their road spreadsheets.
They took them for ransom. Oh, okay.
That's very funny. State access, I reckon.
Surely there must have been a backup somewhere, right? I guess this is why you always back up your data.
You put that shit in the cloud, brother.
This is someone working from home looking at inappropriate stuff on their work computer. Getting it locked down.
Hey, funny. Cyber attacks. Those are a kind of crime. We talk about crime in Crime Watch.
Please put down your weapon. You are in direct violation of Penal Code 113, Section 9. You now have 5 seconds to comply.
I reckon it was Russia. It's just sorry, I'm still reading about that. Maybe Seriously? It was worth going. Like, yeah, they reckon it was.
Okay, that sounds completely fake.
A Russian-based ransomware gang. It's very fun. What the fuck is happening here? With an entity like the City of Abilene that is connected to connections to businesses, nonprofits, and direct interactions with individuals, the data that was targeted could span a wide range of fields. Quote, in this case, City of Abilene's customers, they could be businesses, they could be individuals, and as much information about them as possible, said Huda. In his professional opinion, Abilene may have become a more high-priority target for cyber attacks due to recent increased notoriety through the announcement of the AI project Stargate.
What?
What?
Stargate?
The Abilene
Stargate
means
they're installing
Russian
a Stargate in Abilene, Texas.
An AI Stargate? Under a mountain in Abilene, Texas?
Make them a cyber attack target?
Teal'c?
Teal'c?
Daniel Johnson?
Wait, so now I'm...
General Hammond?
I'm like imagining a situation where it's like they've got all of this like data about, I don't know, businesses or whatever. This is like really difficult, very valuable data from a bribe perspective. And they're like, if you, the Russians come in and they're like, if you paint one more road, comrade, you pave one more block of road.
We will compromise your Stargate.
Massive secretive AI data center project in Abilene, Texas. What the fuck is this? What have we stumbled upon?
What? I just watched Eddington. There is a
there
large...
is something going on here that they are not allowed to talk about.
No.
Right? Like,
yeah, this is...
And so they're like, yeah, sorry, we can't pave the roads because we got hacked?
Because they were targeting our AI Stargate?
Sam
Altman,
Stargate. They have the secret AI Stargate with Teal'c.
These Russian cyber criminals were doing praxis by taking out a super AI data center in Abilene, Texas? Fuck, the world is so full of beauty. It's fucking insane. Sometimes Googling stuff really pays off.
Stargate's
this is crazy.
An open AI project.
That they didn't deliberately did in a semi-rural community where pushback would be limited. That's what I'm reading from the Texas Observer.
That sounds bad.
Oh, here's a classic awful sentence for you. Stargate Project, incorporated in Delaware as Stargate LLC, is an American multinational artificial intelligence joint venture created by OpenAI, SoftBank, Oracle, and investment firm MGX.
Oh, my God. God, that's a murderer's row.
Yeah,
and that's
isn't that kind of nasty
Majestic
shit.
12 as well. They didn't put it on the list, but MJ12, well in there. Illuminati.
Yeah, this is just the plot of Deus Ex. Yeah,
this is where it's fucking happening. If you live in Abilene, Texas, you know what you have to do.
You know what you have to do. You've got to set fire to 50,000 NVIDIA Blackwell processors engineered to train advanced AI models. You must destroy the hive.
Destroy the hive.
Peter Thiel floating in a vat of goo. Icarus Helios.
And that's why you can't have potholes filled on Rebecca Lane.
Yeah, because
that's
of
right.
the state, you are now going to have your commute's going to be 10 minutes longer. When you drive your F-450 to the Walmart, it's going to take you 10 more minutes.
Okay, I'm trying to come up with one more theory, like a genuine theory, and maybe it's that it must have been targeted because of the Stargate thing, obviously. So it's like they needed maybe OpenAI and so forth have been like, we're not going to continue funding you until you get this shit figured out, which means that all city services are now on hold until they can resolve this situation. Well, that would actually make sense.
Abilene's basically just a company town for the Stargate
now. It's a Stargate
town. They don't give a shit
now.
About your potholes. They want the sweet Stargate money.
God, that's so dystopian. This really, this
is
really
fucked up.
This really lives up to the title of my podcast.
Yeah, the venture is currently building 10 data centers in Abilene, Texas. Man. Plans to expand to more states and countries like the United Kingdom, Norway, Japan, and the United Arab Emirates.
Hey, I hope you didn't enjoy having drinking water.
Mm. The new venture claims it will create more than 100,000 jobs.
The workers will die. Destroy the hive.
Because of its large scale, and I'm seeing this on Wikipedia, the program has been compared to the Manhattan Project. What are they doing?
What's going on?
What the fuck?
Why are we the only ones talking about this?
Yes, we just learned about 5 minutes ago.
Out of idle curiosity. This comes to us from WJBF. Man arrested for 1991 armed robbery in Aiken County.
Oh, come on. Give him a break.
Come on.
Let it slide.
Statute of limitations on that thing. Don't worry about it.
A man is behind bars for a crime that was allegedly committed 35 years ago. Reports say that in April 1991, then 21-year-old Frank Hodges allegedly tried to steal a car he was test driving. Hodges reportedly pulled a pistol on the victim in the parking lot of the then Kmart store on East Martintown Road in North Augusta.
But what store is it now? That's what I need to know.
Oh, I have an answer for you. Presently,
oh, hell yes.
There's a Beals outlet and a Ross clothing store at that location.
Okay.
Got the Ross dress for less. Nice.
Here's my question. If you rob a store, but the store doesn't exist anymore, can you have robbed that store?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I robbed a Kmart. Where?
Where? What Kmart?
What
Kmart doesn't fucking exist. Except over here, but it's different. It's not the same one. It's not the same as the one that doesn't exist anymore.
Also, that's a different... All of his cells in his body at that point have been replaced every 7 years.
It's a Sean of Theseus situation.
He's five different guys.
Sixth person now. He's been Theseus Yeah, you get it.
He's been Theseus.
So a man who doesn't exist... So a man who doesn't exist tried to steal a car... From a store that doesn't exist.
That's right.
That's what and you're telling me.
I'd venture that the car probably doesn't exist anymore either.
Might have been cubed.
Yeah. Might have started out as a cube.
Yeah, a man who doesn't exist tried to steal a cube from a store that doesn't exist. Okay.
Yeah, you fucking tell me, okay? This is insane.
Yeah, what real. A world. Come on.
What a world we live in.
This guy is 56 now. He's a whole different man, probably.
You're different. If you met me 35 years ago, you've never met me, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well,
honestly,
yeah.
Because I wasn't born yet.
Because you weren't born.
If you met me 35 years ago, how? Yeah. How did you do that?
I was like 3 months old. You didn't really meet me. You saw me. I didn't meet you. It's not reciprocal. This is just... So he had a warrant, like an outstanding warrant? For his arrest that got transferred from paper files to digital files at some point between 1991 and now, they've pulled him over or something and they've been like, oh, dude, do you remember 35 years ago you pulled a gun on a guy when you were test driving his car? Well, guess what? You're going to jail.
Going to the slammer.
he wouldn't fucking remember this at all. He'd be like,
I'm surprised the statute of limitations hadn't run out on that. Right? You know?
Yeah, is that not a thing?
I thought the statute of limitations on like murder was like 30 years.
Yeah.
But
although
you tell me.
Maybe though, if technically this is a case that they were prosecuting all the way back then, right? Because if you've started to prosecute, if you've created a case and you keep the case open, even a cold case is still technically an open case, right? So...
Yeah, okay. So if they'd like only learned about it now and it was 35 years ago, past the statute of limitations. God, this is such a well-informed podcast.
Wait, car hijacking cold cases is such a funny idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why can't you just close the ticket?
Is one guy just really mad about this? Like, did this affect one cop's life so badly? It ruined his marriage. It caused him a drinking problem. He couldn't solve the case. He's had it out for this guy forever.
Somebody threw a brick through his windshield, you know.
That cop died of a fentanyl overdose 30 years later. You know?
That's right. He touched one piece.
One piece
of fentanyl.
He clicked on the Wikipedia article for fentanyl and it collapsed at his desk.
I'm also a little perplexed by the line in here. Allegedly tried to steal a car.
Yeah.
He was test driving.
So unsuccessful?
So he pulled a gun and the guy went, rack off.
Yeah.
Hey, he just stopped dicking around. We're trying to test drive this car. Do you like the fabric on the seats? Yes or no? Put the gun away.
Put the gun away. Put the piece away, pal. It's the scene from Big Lebowski. Dude, put the piece away. Walter.
Calm down, man.
Walter.
Yeah, put it away. How's the pickup feel? You know? A lot of trunk space. What kind of car was it? That's what I want to know.
I actually am just now picturing this being Walter Sobchak from The Big Lebowski. That's the funniest possible idea.
Hodges was arrested August 25th, 2025, and charged with armed robbery with a deadly weapon. He has since bonded out of the Aiken County Jail. All right, so he's not in the slammer at the very least. That's just, I can't even imagine. That's a whole other fucking lifetime.
Yeah.
Like, I struggle to remember shit that I did in my early 20s. And
me too. That's
35.
That's a different person.
35 years
ago. I've been theseist two times at this point since then, you know?
And that's only a fraction of the theseist things that this man has gone through. Two-fifths, to be precise. I don't think they should be allowed to do that. I reckon the cop should sort of, like, you can acknowledge it. I think you can be like, whoa, this is crazy. I actually have a warrant out for your arrest for something you did 35 fucking years ago. The guy's like,
Isn't that crazy?
And you can laugh about it.
Laugh about it.
Remember the time that you pulled a piece on the car dealer during a test drive?
And the guy's sitting there being like, no, I don't remember that. Ford Taurus? I'm not sure. You go back to the station, be like, this is the longest one we have yet. Actually, I looked up they just have like a PDF that is a list of everyone that was currently like held in jail or out on bond from the Aiken County Jail. And like so many of the crimes these people were in there for were from the 90s.
Oh, maybe they're on a big 90s bust.
Oh, then.
They're clearing the backlog.
Yeah. 90s are kind of in right now.
They're doing
big
cop
jeans,
nostalgia.
Big shirts.
Jinkos.
Hey, arresting a guy for something he did 35 years ago when he was basically a 21-year-old child, that sounds like a scam. We talk about scams in Scam Watch.
Warning, warning. Someone has successfully or unsuccessfully attempted a scam and must be judged. This is Scam Watch.
This is from the Boston Herald. Man with same name as Babe Ruth charged with using old baseball players' names for settlement fraud.
Okay.
What?
Using other baseball players' names?
Other different old baseball players' names.
No. I'm not Babe Ruth. You have me confused with a different guy. I'm Shohei Ohtani.
A Tennessee man with the same name as New York Yankees legend Babe Ruth is facing charges alleging that he used the names of hundreds of dead or retired pro baseball players to make phony claims for payouts in class action settlements.
That's just hustling. That's just a little side hustle, man. Leave him alone.
Oh, man.
Also, he sounds like Jack Reacher.
Yeah, true. That was my first thought. Yeah.
He's reachering.
Yeah,
he's
reachering.
But in class action lawsuits. So he's like reachering for like $3.50 at a time?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it's just not... And who's the victim of this crime?
Yeah.
People having to do a class action payout.
Qui no bono. That's what I ask.
Mm-hmm.
George Herman Ruth is charged with 91 counts in the indictment handed down in U.S.
Wait,
District Court.
Wait, it's the full name.
It's the full name.
George Herman. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's not Babe Ruth on his birth certificate. George Herman Ruth.
I was actually earlier in the part where we were talking about like old fat baseball players, I was going to bring up Babe Ruth as like the perfect example. So I'm so glad we've come full circle on this.
It's beautiful.
Nice, isn't it? He's charged with 91 counts in the indictment handed down in U.S. District Court in Greenville, Tennessee on August 12th. The U.S. Attorney's Office announced late last week. The 69-year-old, nice, from Morristown, is charged with mail fraud, aggravated identity theft, fraudulent use of social security numbers, money laundering, making false statements to his probation officer, and possessing firearms after having previously been convicted of felonies. So,
where's the evidence?
Probably, okay.
George Herman Ruth is strapped as well. The indictment says Ruth obtained or attempted to obtain more than $550,000 through the scheme. He sought payouts in lawsuit settlements ranging from contact lens pricing allegations to claims of racial discrimination against a staffing agency. The indictment adds. I mean, if you're just like jumping onto
this
every
so
single
class action
lawsuit.
Just go online and
lawsuit,
sign up for every class action.
There are websites
smart.
That just like list like
yeah,
all of
what
the
class
ongoing
actions
ones
are going on.
State.
You get $3.50 100 times. That's at least $30, I'd say.
Correct. Ruth opened more than a dozen P.O. boxes in several Tennessee cities for himself and for sham companies.
How could this even have been a profitable grift if he was having to pay for a bunch of P.O. boxes?
It seems like a lot of work as well. Like at this point, can't you just get like a data entry job? Because that's essentially what you're doing.
You're doing work. Like you're working at this point.
Yeah, but nothing feels better. Entry. Nothing feels better than working for yourself, though. You know,
he true. Sets his own hours, I guess.
Yeah,
that's
you don't want to clock in. He's got flexible work hours. He can kind of do as much or as little as he wants. And hey, you got to spend money to make money.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct. he then submitted hundreds of fraudulent claims forms to class action administrators across the country, according to the indictment. He used the old baseball players' names or variations of his own name, which again is kind of the same.
Well, I want to know what the other names were. Yeah. Like, does it say?
No,
was he reiterating with like 1920s New York Yankee
well, this
first
is, this
line?
Is what I'm wondering.
Tony Spinelli type stuff.
Like I like because that for me is the more interesting part of the story. It was like, did he have different batches where it would be like, oh yeah, the 1984 World Series champion New York Mets. Like I remember that batch. That was when I went after a series of things about like bad baby powder. And I submitted 100 Keith Hernandezes.
I think
or
what
whatever.
I like about this is that he's choosing to theme it. There's no reason to do it other than
right.
for the love
just
of old timey baseball. Like,
which is why I'm wondering if maybe he went further with the theming. You know
like
what I
deeper.
Mean? Like,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Or if this was also possibly a way for him to keep this stuff organized in his own mind. Yeah.
Right.
Well, this is. Terrible anecdote. I can feel that in my heart already. But we
well, soldier on.
Here we go.
At work, we have only one thing on one of the lines that we get the same keg of every week. We get multiple 20-liter kegs of ginger beer, unlike everything else, where it's a different beer one after the other. And to make sure we're going through all of them and the right number are backed up in the fridge or what have you, I put a little label on there with a little code name. But we
Barry
theme
Bonds.
Them. So like this week, they're titles of Denis Villeneuve movies. the last week they were the names of species of flower that only flower at night, I think. But it means that if I ever see one, I can be like, oh, that was from that week where we
right.
themed it out of that one. That
oh,
gives
I
him
see.
A little
that's
archival
exactly
reference.
What I was kind of wondering about.
That's
yeah,
really
same
good.
Kind of like mental cataloging thing.
It's but then. Does he need to keep track of it? Like, once he's got the money, isn't it just kind of like, well, I never have to think about that one again until Johnny Law comes knocking.
I don't know. Maybe it's like, oh, that series of claims that I filed between, you know, March and September of 2024 when it was the 2000 New York Yankees. That was a wonderful series of filings. I remember it fondly.
It's no good when the police come to your door and you open the door and there are like mugshots of hundreds of baseball players on the wall behind you.
A whole wall of like baseball
like, grouped with marker around them.
I mean, I'm also just thinking about how baseball guys think, right?
Yeah.
Because baseball as a hobby is all about remembering guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you in a real baseball watcher has the incredible ability to remember thousands and thousands of guys.
I think this is kind of beautiful. Like if this was just a guy who had like made a little Python script that just randomly generates first name, last name combinations or whatever, and then was just like, bam, 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 uses all those. I'd be like, oh,
boring.
Come on, you're an
it's
asshole,
little,
but this
put
guy...
Put a little flair on it.
If I like, was doing this, I would be using IMDb to pull names from the crew of, like, 80s B-movies.
That's really good.
Mm. Oh, yeah, what would we all do? I would do characters from immersive sims, such as Deus Ex and Thief.
Yeah, that's nice.
And Thief 2.
Yeah, nice.
I mean, I'm kind of, in my personal life, I'm already listing guys for segments for this show. I'm looking up big list of guys. I think the most...
You're looking at a lot of lists of guys.
Yeah, you are. Looking at a lot of guys on the internet.
You said the other day that you looked through the entirety of a list of 16,000 names for a segment.
Yeah, and that's the sort of work that I put into this show. I think the one that's like the most rewarding for me was the like graduates of, I think it was like Yale maybe from like the late 1800s, early 1900s. Just all of those names, they just got a little bit of a magic to them. A little bit of magic sauce. I think those are probably my guys.
Oh, I'm listing guys from the crew of the HMS Erebus and the Terra.
Yeah.
I'm getting that Francis Crozier money.
Yeah,
you know?
Fuck yeah, dog. You're getting Gore. What's his name? Gore. The indictment doesn't list the names of the players, but it does describe some of them. For instance, some played for defunct teams such as the Philadelphia Athletics, the St. Louis Browns, and the Kansas City Packers.
Oh,
that's
these
remembering
are
some
old.
Guys.
Obscure.
Yeah.
It's getting obscure, guys.
These are old,
the
old
fucking
names.
Kansas City Packers?
Imagine having some beers with this guy, listing players, just listing names of guys.
Yeah.
I'm stopping at Ty Cobb and I'm out.
Sorry, I was like, I didn't even know about the Kansas City Packers. They were active for all of 1 year. They were founded in 1914 and disbanded in 1915.
Holy
I never
fuck.
Heard of these guys.
That rules so much.
That's amazing.
1 year? This guy's like an old head. He's like a fucking...
be on a kind of spectrum.
I was going to say, this guy should be trying to get this case dismissed on grounds of like disability, right, for his incredibly powerful autism.
I'm sorry for having a powerful brain for remembering baseball player names.
I'm just saying if you could maybe swing it to get out of going to prison. That's all.
Yeah.
I just looked, Honor, I encountered a lot of series of lists and I found a way to put them together and someone would send me a check.
Your Honor, my client is pleading not guilty on grounds of being too cool for these allegations.
This guy would be such a weapon to have around you for just like posting up on the corner with your crew.
Yes.
That's right.
Like
that's
just
right.
Listing baseball players from the Kansas City Packers. 1 year. 1 year in existence and this guy's pulled the roster for scams.
So good.
Oh, free this guy who got... $550,000.
Oh my
George
God.
Herman Ruth.
That's a lot of $3.50 Red Bull class action lawsuit.
At least 100.
That will pay for a lot of post office boxes. I guess he, you know, like you were saying, Andrew, you got to spend money to make money.
True. That's not pure profit, I guess.
No. And also, I'm going to call bullshit on this one. I think this is classic pre-crime business. The indictment says Ruth obtained or attempted to obtain more than $550,000. So, like, that just means that he submitted to a total.
Wow,
of
we're living
that he
in Minority
might have
Report.
Got.
What a terrible world.
Oh, you got three androgynous
crimes.
People floating in a pool that told you that all of these were going to pay off? Get the fuck out of here.
And all of their names were the same names. Their names were Hank Aaron. Who are two more baseball players? I'm terrible at Let's Remember Some Guys, to be clear.
I love the guy that just, this guy was probably a power user on like baseballreference.com as well. Like he is the guy up there updating the rosters that like they're from the 1890s. So you got to pull up old team photos where the names are hand engraved along the bottom. He's putting in the player names where there's a question mark after their surname because you can't quite read it. And because the spelling was fucked up at Ellis Island when they got there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I got two more, by the way. Joe DiMaggio. Oh. Mm. And Lou Gehrig. There we go.
Classic.
Classic.
How about Aaron Judge? Is that a guy?
How about him? I mean, he's a current player.
How about Farmer Brady, Garland Loring, Mark
Jose Canseco,
Richard Pinsky, and Alex
Derek Jeter.
A public defender representing Ruth declined to comment on the charges. Ruth had previously pled guilty in an Indiana federal court to a scheme to commit Social Security fraud. In 2020, he was sentenced to prison before going on probation from October 23 till July 2025. Court records show. Good luck.
RIP, King.
You're innocent.
Free my man. Free Babe Ruth.
I would love to see the discrepancy between what he attempted to obtain and what he actually obtained.
Yeah. $200.
Yep.
It actually didn't pay for the P.O. boxes. Yeah.
He is currently down. Hey, I think this was definitely an episode of the podcast Punta Vista. Thank you, the listener, so much for joining us. Josh, where can they find you?
Well, thanks so much for having me. I had a real blast. You can find me all over the web. I co-host two podcasts. The first one is called The Worst of All Possible Worlds. We talk about media and pop culture every week, different piece of media. We had Andrew on our show to talk about Rambo, First Blood. It's a banger episode. You should all go listen.
I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, we did too. We did too. And the other show that I co-host is called Ill Conceived. It is a podcast about natalism, the ideology that sees declining birth rates as the most important thing in modern politics. We spend a lot of time talking about weird guys and the things that weird guys do. It is our most recent episode. We talked about daddy-daughter dates and purity balls. It's some dark stuff.
It's no good.
We watch a lot of movies with our kids, and the other day, Elna threw on like Father of the Bride because we all like Steve Martin.
Of course,
threw on Father of the Bride. First 10 minutes of the movie, both of my daughters say, "Why is he talking about his daughter like that?"
Yeah, right?
Because it's not that old. It's from the 90s, I guess. And he's being a fucking psychopath about his daughter having sex and marrying someone. And yeah, my wife said she was like, "I think it's good that was our daughter's reaction to that."
Yeah, yeah.
That's not normal.
Yeah, that's good. It's not normal.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to hear about some people who are very committed to choosing the people that their daughters have sex with, make sure to go listen to Ill Conceived. thank you for having me on again. You can also find me on Blue Sky at bosh.worstpossible.world. And I have a website, joshborman.com, where I post what I've been up to in general. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. I, for once, also have a plug, which I forgot to do 3 weeks ago. we're doing Bolf again. Bolf is back and in a big way. We are doing this year the Brisbane Only Roads and Leather Film Festival. It's a car-themed one. It is September 19th to 21st at New Farm Cinema. We are screening Speed Racer, Thelma and Louise, Vanishing Point, The Bad Gone in 60 Seconds, Drive, Christine, Death Race 2000, The Good One, and Mad Max, Fury Road, Black and Chrome.
It's a great lineup.
It's going to be pretty fucking good. Nice. I'm pretty excited. You can get tickets at bolf.com. It's going to be really fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
I was just going to say, spell it. Spell Bolf for people so they can.
Oh, it's as it sounds. That is BORLFF, which we got a shitload of metal pins printed out, not realizing we had misspelled our own film festival on there. Yes. With two R's and one F. Pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's pretty funny.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I could definitely say this. We had someone from BIFF talk to us and be like, "Oh, it'd be fun if we could work on something together to sort of incorporate some stuff from BOLF into BIFF." And I was like, "Oh, shit. Do we tell them that the reason BOLF exists is because they asked us to do something and then stood us up and ghosted us?"
Oh.
So we were like, "You know what? We will start our own film festival and we're calling it BOLF." It all comes back. Now you want us, now you come crawling back to BOLF. Stay safe out there. Look after yourselves.
Destroy the hive.
Just set fire to the hive. We'll talk to you very soon.
Bye. Bye.